finally, today we keep our eyes cast skyward as we're joined by Alan Czarnecki in our Cedar Falls studio, professor of meteorology at the University of Northern Iowa. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Ben. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you on this, which is Lightning Awareness Week. I was interested to see that last year, 23 people killed by lightning in the U.S., and that's a record low for lightning deaths, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've had a nice downward trend, actually, in lightning deaths. The last couple of years, the drier part of the latter half of the summer probably had a contributing factor to that. There are fewer thunderstorms, obviously, if you get into a dry pattern. We'd also like to think, though, that people are becoming more lightning aware and that people are reviewing safety considerations for lightning and taking precautions early enough to protect themselves from lightning.
Mm-hmm. Well, make us aware of some of the basics of lightning safety.
Well, one of the most important things is to take action early. The safety slogan that the National Weather Service is promoting right now is, "When thunder roars, go indoors." We hope that becomes as common and well-known as the old stop, drop, and roll safety tip for clothes catching on fire, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you hear thunder, you are at risk to a lightning strike. No sense trying to count how many seconds. And we used to have a 30-30 rule, and the rule had been if the count between the lightning and the thunder were 30 seconds or less, you were in danger. But we've kind of tossed that one out. As soon as you hear thunder, you should seek shelter inside of a permanent structure. If you can't get to a permanent structure, an enclosed vehicle is probably about the next best place to be, and that would be especially true if our listeners were in charge of a group of students, perhaps on a field trip or mm-hmm. a family outing. If they can get onto a school bus or into the family vehicle, the vehicles are safe, not because of the rubber tires. There's sort of an old myth about the
right.
rubber tires protect the vehicle, but it's actually the fact that you're enclosed by metal. And should there be a lightning discharge to the car or nearby, the electricity flows around the outside of the vehicle and generally protects those who are inside.
Mm-hmm. What about in water, if you're in a lake, a river, or a swimming pool? I know they clear swimming pools out at the first thunder, but if you're in water, how does water behave when it strikes? If I'm swimming in a lake and it strikes maybe 100 feet from me?
Yeah, water's a great conductor of electricity, and so water activities actually put you at perhaps higher risk than things even like golfing. I think it's commonly thought that, of leisure activities, golfing is probably the one that puts you most at risk. But actually, fishing has since about 2006, there have been 261 lightning deaths in the U.S. since 2006, and the number one of those among leisure-related activities actually was in fishing. There were 30 fatalities from fishing, 14 from boating. Golf was 8, which is certainly 8 too many, but a lot lower than for fishing or boating activities.
Alan, you happen to know the last lightning death in Iowa?
The last lightning death in Iowa was in 2008. We've had 4 lightning deaths since 2000, which is 4 too many. But
yes.
We actually get by most years without any lightning deaths, which mm-hmm. we're happy about.
Yes. As a youngster growing up in Cedar Falls, a neighbor boy was not killed, but lost a leg to a lightning strike. So we were in our neighborhood well aware of the dangerousness.
Many more injuries due to lightning than deaths. Mm-hmm. So certainly we do have injuries more often.
You have a couple minutes. Tell us about how lightning works. Why does it happen?
Well, we don't understand everything about how lightning is produced, but our best understanding is that it starts in the cloud, and it has to do with the precipitation in the cloud, the mixture, actually, of ice and liquid and hail and so on. In the violent updrafts and downdrafts in the thunderstorm, electrons actually get broken off of some of the precipitation items, and they get redistributed in the cloud. And typically what you have is that the excess electrons settle towards the middle or the lower portion of the cloud, and that strong negative charge near the middle and base of the cloud can, under the right conditions, start to sort of problem solve to take care of this imbalance of charge between the positive and negative portions of the cloud or between the cloud and the ground itself. And so mm-hmm. what it does is it actually starts to work negative charge or electrons down towards the ground in sort of a stepped fashion. The cloud is, the electrons are, it's almost like they're problem solving. Obviously they're not, but they proceed so far they respond to their immediate vicinity, and they react then in a little different direction. So the progression occurs in sort of a jagged pattern down towards the ground.
Yep.
As the electrons make it to the ground becomes increasingly positive because there's a repulsion of the electrons at the ground by the very strong charge working down from the cloud. Eventually, that negative coming from the cloud hooks up with what we call the ground streamer, which is an increasingly positive portion near the ground, and you get a flow of current then between the cloud and the ground. And
Alan, lightning. We have just a few seconds left. I promised our listeners weekend weather. Very quickly, what does it look like for Iowa?
It looks wet for this weekend,
Ben,
unfortunately.
Sorry.
Yeah, looks like probably wet through Monday, and then we'll get into a little drying afterwards.
Okay. Alan Sarnatsky, professor of meteorology at the University of Northern Iowa. Thanks for the weather and for that update on Lightness Awareness Week. Thank you.
Thank you.